Now, if you look at the whole story, it's go like that. And it's kind of weird or funny. It say if you're going to go to a war and God will allow you to win, similar to Bob Dylan song, if you know the song with God on our side. Most of you don't know Bob Dylan, so, okay? God on our side. I have no idea what I'm saying. God's on our side. It doesn't matter. So it say, and you will see a beautiful woman and you have a desire for that woman. Take that woman that you capture in the war, bring it to your house. She should shave her head, make her nails, remove her dress. Rob, don't go too far, okay? Then she will sit in your house. She need to cry for her father and mother for 30 days. And then you should be with her and make love to her. Rob, how are you doing with that? Okay. But the whole section doesn't make sense. I mean, we talk about 3,400 years ago. It's a tough. Now, after that, Rob, listen to that. You might like it too. And if after that you don't like her, you need to let her go. Wherever she needs to go, but you cannot sell her and you cannot make money from it. Rob, we good on that? The next verse say, if a man has two women. Doesn't say if a woman has two men. If a man has two women, one that he like and one that he hate. Does this verse make sense to you? Why would a man have two women, one he like, one he hate? If you have a woman, you love. Two women, one he love, one he hate. And the story continue and continue. And if we're not going to go to the Zohar, to the mystical understanding of what's really going on here, we will get very much lost. And unfortunately, people who take the Torah, the Bible, literally, come up with all type of stupid conclusion. Because when we said war, we are not talking about physical war. We are actually talking about spiritual war. We all in the middle of a war. We all have war overcoming an issue that we have from inside. And it says when you're going to go to a war on your enemy, where's your enemy? Internal enemy. And you will be able to capture somebody. Who is you capture? Your own soul. You're going to capture your own soul and you bring it back. What does that mean? You should shave your own soul head. We know that there is two parts in the body. I mean, there is more than two parts that grow no matter if you cut it, it will grow. The nails, some of us still have hair, you know. So you cut it, it's supposed to grow. And the nails, and there, which means spiritually you're supposed to grow all the time. So to refresh yourself with how spiritually you're going to grow, that's what it refers that you take the woman. The woman doesn't refer to the woman, it refers to your soul, to your internal power. Because we know we have two forces, the body and the soul. Actually, the body has two forces as well. The body is split to two, the illusionary body and the real body. I cannot go to the all details. The soul has three levels. We are talking about, let's call it the subconscious side, what people are familiar with. So the soul has to go to some transition. If we want to grow, we have to take ourselves to the next level. And yes, we are always and we will always be in the middle of a war. Can you rest? No. You can just win more or take the war not as bad as the war is. If that makes any sense to you. So first I'm reading to you the story. And again, the whole story doesn't make any sense. Two women. You ask all men, do you want more than one wife? Everybody say yes. Can you handle more than one wife? Everybody say no. It's a weird thing. All men have some fantasy. Yeah. But it's come to the bottom line. I can't do it. And too much. You know, and the idea is, what does that mean? You have two wife. What is the concept of two wife? And the idea, when a man have a need to be surrounded by women, the Kabbalists are telling us, and I'm going to read it in Hebrew, what it say. Marbe nashim, marbe kshafim. When a man like to go too much around women, and he like it, he has more magic that affecting him. You say black magic, actually. And because women have power to do magic, men is not as strong as women to do magic. Do you know what magic is? Because some of you are new. Do you believe in magic? In Sweden, they don't believe in it, I think, no? There's something. Oh, they do? Okay, so there is something called black magic, which means black magic is not something you do in a superficial level. It's something that you go into the upper level and you fix with some different sound, actually. You know, there is sound of ah, eh, ee. Based on that sound, you activated forces. And those activation, because the sound always come before. Then the shape come. First sound, shape. So there is people who know how to combine a certain sound, activate those sound, and if they are around you, they can even force you to do a certain thing that you don't want to do. So women has more power to do so than men. For that reason, it's written, when a man goes into a cemetery, don't look into the women's eyes. Because the women's eyes are the most powerful thing that exists. And if you go to a cemetery where the angel of death exists, the angel of death can go through the women, but never hurt them. But if the angel of death touch a man, it can hurt the man. The man is not strong. So that's why you cannot look into the women's eyes in a cemetery, because their eyes reflect that negative power. Okay, Rob, make sure. No more party in the cemetery. Okay, so the idea that we need to remember that, because this is the energy. So when it says two women, it's telling it to the men, because men want to be like. What does men get excited about? When you compliment a man about his look, he's okay with it, but it's not super exciting. Men need to be complicated, having a compliment over his behavior, over his performance. For a woman, it's beautiful to say, nice dress. For a man, you say nice shoes, he will right away come with a story. You know, how much I pay for it? You know, right away there is a story. Why? Because there is a performant ego, macho ego that the man need to show. And it's healthy, by the way. For women, of course, it's the look. That's why two women cannot wear the same dress in a party, okay? Men, you hardly can find the groom, right? When there is a wedding. I don't know who the groom is. Everybody look like dolphin, penguin. Like penguin, yeah. You know, so the idea is men like the attention from women to tell them how great he is, how wonderful he is. But the Kabbalists are telling the men among us to be careful. If you like to be surrounded by women a lot, just be careful. Be careful. It's very, very dangerous. Now, those of you who have a significant one, the man or Mary, you know, wife usually feel, if you're getting closer, bless you. Wife usually feel when you get closer to the wrong woman. And I know sometimes you get angry, why the wife pull you by the shirt, say, I don't think you want to talk to this one. And say, I'm just talking. Well, the women feel if that woman has some dirt, you know, something is wrong. If that woman kind of suck the energy out of you, your blood and everything, nothing left. So you need to listen, because it's a woman language men can never understand. Men can be strong, smart, everything like this. He will never capture that frequency. It's a high-pitched level of frequency that men cannot relate to. It's called the Zeher Anpin in a Kabbalistic term. And women can jump between Malchut and Bina. Women can be frequency of the ground, which is earth, and frequency above Zeher Anpin, which is heaven. The man is the channel between heaven and earth. They call the man in a Kabbalistic language the rain. The rain. They call the women in Kabbalistic language the spring water, because the water coming from the ground and go up, all the way up. So different type of energy. So the men have to know that it's very easy. And I did a course with a sex therapist in Florida to women only. And they ask about dating and about sex and about different things. And we had a wonderful session. And the conclusion that we get there, it's so easy. It's so easy to convince every man to be with you. All what the men want to hear is how great he is. So don't compliment men about his look. Just tell him, wow. Use the word wow more often. Just W-O-W. Oh my God. That's it. And if you're on a first date, do not order the menu. No menu for you. Let the boss decide. You are looking at the boss. And every time you order a dish, you say, wow, how did you know? That's it. All about cooking. So that's why I tell you this whole section is a war of the mind, is the war of the subconscious mind, is the war that you're going to fight your own negativity. And we all have negativity. We all have demons. We all have demons. And you need to remember that. Now, I'm not going to go through all the section, but I would like to tell you that the end of the section, is talking about the idea that if you meet the nation of Amalek, Amalek was a nation that had a mission. What was the mission of Amalek? The mission of Amalek was one thing. The mission of Amalek is only one thing. And what was this one thing? To inject your brain with doubts. How can I have your brain full with doubts? Why don't you inject the brain with negativity? Because negativity, you're going to win. Positivity, you're going to apply. But doubts, I'm not telling you you're bad, and I'm not telling you you're good. Can you imagine the person you love the most? He said, what do you think of me? I said, well, and that's it. It's already, well, and that's it. You ever went to a doctor and feel sick after? Most doctors do this to you. I'm sorry if you're a doctor. So most doctors do, well, I'm not sure I can tell you that, but what happened to your brain? You think of the worst. Why? Because doubts is the mother of all evil. The fear, the doubts, nothing is worse. You can't allow doubt to be injected into your bloodstream. If you go for sure, do bad, go. You do good for sure, do good. But don't start sitting there and say, I'm not sure. No more, I'm not sure for you. There's no, I'm not sure. You do it, and you find out later if it was a good idea or bad idea. You sit there, I promise you. If you want to hear about all those people who are sitting and waiting for the right time, you know where they are? Tell you where they are. There is a place called cemetery. On the grave, it's written, I almost got it right. But I was waiting to get more information on that subject. Stop looking for information. You just have to go for it. And then you're going to find out if it's good or bad. What are you going to lose? What are you going to lose? Disappointment? You're going to have disappointment. At least something happened. Sitting there and waiting, you're so safe. Nobody ever break your heart. Nobody ever stole money from you. Nobody ever hurt you. What a great life. Terrible life. If you tell me your life is perfect because you never try anything, you have a terrible life. Get disappointed. Get problem. Get things happen to you. Thank God. Something going on. Now you know left is wrong. All those things is very important. There is a story about Rav Zusha. Rav Zusha is from Ukraine. And the story goes like this. It's written that Adam and Eve, when they committed the crime in the Garden of Eden, all of us were part of their soul while they're committing that crime. So they ask Rav Zusha, you're the greatest righteous man ever lived. How come it didn't stop Adam from doing that crime? Zusha said, hey, not only I didn't stop him, I'm the one who pushed him to eat from the apple. He said to him, why? He said, because I was nervous that Adam might think that there is something really good within that tree. So I said, you know what, just try it. If it's bad, it's bad. If it's good, it's good. Who cares? In life, you must go for it. You're not going to sit, especially this week. Make decision. Make up your mind. Make up your mind. It's already written. Your movie, it's already written. The only part that's missing in your movie is how bad you're going to react or how good you're going to react. The rest of it is written. You walk into a movie theater, you're rolling, you know? The movie is rolling. Can't do nothing about it. There is a film, it's there. The only thing, are you going to laugh or are you going to cry? Sometimes people cry in a funny movie. I cry in a movie called As Good As It Get. You know that movie? Jack Nicholson. Why I cry? Because it reminds me of my father. My father suffered from OC. It was exactly the story of my father. I'm looking and I'm crying. Everybody, all my friends look at me, are you okay? I said, please, I need a moment here. I need a moment. I said, but it's a funny movie. I said, it's not funny. For me, it's not funny. So it's all about point of view. Now, let's go a little bit deeper. Any question about it? Something that challenged you this week? Something that was difficult for you? Boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, cheating, doubts, issues, love yourself, hate yourself, doubt yourself. Any question you want to ask? Yes? So I can drink water. Okay. Then we're going to go a little bit deeper. When I say deeper, I mean it. And hopefully I will be able to make it clear to everybody. No, but it depends on you and me. It's not just me. We're all in it together. So let's do the best we can and see how we're doing. This subject has to do about the difference between men and women. And I hope you agree there is a difference, right? Let's see what the Zohar has to say. Again, it's a very difficult section, so don't get lost. I'm going to bring all of you together into it in a second. Please go ahead.
When a man has taken a new wife, he shall not go out to war and shall cheer his wife whom he has taken. This precepts for the groom to rejoice in his wife for 1 year, as written, but he shall be free at home 1 year, since these 12 months are hers. For the year is a bride, namely Malchut, that is called a year. And the bride is present only with 12 months, as written. And he made a molten sea, it stood upon 12 oxen. For the sea is Malchut. 12 oxen are the secret of 4 spherot, Chochmah, Binah, Tiferet, and Malchut, each of 3 columns, which are always 12. And since the bride is perfected only with 12, the groom needs to cheer her and her household, her and her equipment, and it is above. Hence it is written of Jacob, and he took of the stones of that place, the place being Malchut. There are 12 stones to that place, and whoever cheers the bride cheers her maids, her sphirot in Briah. There are 12 maids for the same reason. Everything pertains to the mystery of the year. For that reason, the groom has to rejoice in his bride for 1 year.
Thank you. So it's very complicated because there is some numbers and 12 and 4 times 3, it's 12, which we know it, but it's kind of complicated. So let me make it a little bit more simple so we can relate to it, okay? First, what do you think? Time belong to a man or to a woman? Whoever say answer, you need to prove why. Whatever you say, belong to men because of whatever you say, I have to say why. Yes. What's the answer? I don't know.
Women.
You say women. Why?
Because they have a biological clock.
System. Very good. Uh-huh. Very good. By the way, I don't want to upset anybody here, but that's the right answer. Period. I mean, the word period has to do with time. So that's why women in my new book, that hopefully coming this generation, okay? I finished it 1 year ago, but we need help. So I talk about the power of women, and in that section we explain that women rejuvenate themselves every month. Every month they're born again, by the way, every month. If even after, or when they no longer have the period, they still rejuvenate themselves every month, every 30 days. Every 30 days, they start all over again. So women relate to time. So when we say time or year or anything like that, it has to do with time. Women always relate to time, men will not understand time. If man is very specific about time, it has more feminine energy within him. Okay, when a man is very considerate about time, being on time, not being late, all those things, it's a feminine energy within the man. Because men is coming from a different frequency, called Ze'er Anpin, Z-A. You should read more about it, those of you who never study Kabbalah. Z-A or Ze'er Anpin, Z-E-I-R, and the second word is Anpin, A-N-P-I-N. So it's a frequency of the place that there is no time, place, and motion. That's where men come from. Women coming from this, from the land, okay, from the ground, and because the ground has time, there is a season for everything. So everything in here has a season. Now you write that when a man or with the groom, he said he's taking a new wife. What does that mean, a new wife? What does it mean, a new wife? There is a used one? Are you going to Amazon and say, can I have a used one, please? Please, can I have a used? Or what they call that company that you sell?
eBay.
Yeah. Can I have a... That's how it's on. What is being a new wife? Why does it say a woman take, now with all the campaign, women are the hero in Hollywood now, should say when a woman, we should change that section. When a woman take a new man, right? The system, and unfortunately, it doesn't matter how much I'm going to explain it, it will sound really bad. So I'm taking a risk explaining it. And I'm sure Debbie already making a face, don't go there, but I will. So it say, you know, with a woman, for example, cheat on her husband, right away it affects her mental being. She start to go crazy. Start to go crazy, losing her mind. Why? The injection of the sperm or the kiss. Kiss is a higher level. There's three types of intercourse. Hug, sexuality, sexual intercourse, and a kiss. Kiss being the highest level because you exchange souls, by the way. When people kiss, I'm not talking about on the cheek, the word here. Okay? Ever la paix. So there is a kiss to kiss, ever la paix, meaning exchange of souls, not liquid, of souls, going from side to side. He's taking her, so there is a lot of situation going on. Then there is a sex itself, or making love, whatever you want to call it. And then there is a hug. Those three levels make you exchange part of your soul. So when a woman can be with more than one man at that period of a week, it starts affecting her mind. Because all his thought, all his idea, because the man is biologically the giver energy. The woman is the receiver energy. Please remember, the way you make children, sperm, going inside, egg, meet the egg, you have a child, very biologically, not spiritually. So the same thing, when a man approach a woman, and I know that a lot of women are very nervous because we live in a modern society and it's not like the old days that you first invite her for a dance, hi, restaurant, hi again, dance, restaurant, ring, then maybe something happens. Today, different things, you know, you have to try the product and then you share your name. So, by the way, my name is, you know. So, different time. We live in a different time. So what happened in a different time? Try to create a little bit distance between the guys. Now, what happened if a guy does that? And that's the area Debbie D wanted me to go to. When a guy does that, if he has more than one woman, again, the danger of magic, black magic, and the second danger is if he's have children, the energy of the two women, if he has two women, affecting the kids right away. That's the danger. That's the danger. But it doesn't affect the men. And I'm sorry, women. I know you think I'm a chauvinist. Maybe I am. But I'm bringing that part from a section from Kabbalah, from the book, from the Zohar. But I want you to understand it more, not from a spiritual point of view, from a biological point of view. Just be careful for you. Understand how dangerous it is for you. That's why in the old days, they used to look at it like a man can marry four wives or five wives and all those primitive tradition. But the idea, you need always to understand where it's come from, but not from a point men is better, women are better, there is no better. We are different machine. Different machine. If we look at us as a machine, we are absolutely different from one another. Nobody is better, nobody is worse. You want to look at women better? No problem. Say that the women are the second edition of creation of God. So they are better, right? God first make the first edition, then he make the second edition. Usually second edition is better, right? So you can look at it this way. But I'm just telling you from a point of what a woman represent, okay? And I want to remind you another thing. Men get complicated, complement by his performance. Women get complement by malchut. Malchut means the physical kingdom. You have to remember that. And this is will take us to the next section. Michelle, can you read it, please?
Yeah, we have explained that this joy is not his but hers, as written, and shall rejoice with his wife. It does not say that he shall rejoice in his wife, but shall rejoice with, which means that he shall rejoice with the bride. Similarly, the bride has no joy save in the body and her jewels. Who rejoices with them? The righteous does. For that reason, he shall be free at home, free from toiling in worldly matters, so that he shall have the desire to rejoice with her. He shall be free of all, free of taxes, crop taxes, and poll taxes. He shall be free from going to the army to war, so there shall be joy above and below, and to evoke joy above. Blessed in the holy nation, whose master rejoices in them. Blessed are they in the world, and blessed are they are in the world to come.
So, I want to ask something for the women. Is the worst nightmare for you with guys is when they reject you? So what's a nightmare, Michelle? I'm sorry.
Okay, I guess it's up there.
Well, leave it, I asked somebody else. So what's the worst, Debbie, asked my wife, what's the worst thing for women? No, come on, I mean, it's got to be somebody give me some answer. What's the worst nightmare for a woman? I'm going to put the glasses so I can see faces, expression. So what's the worst thing? No, you're a man. I want to hear it from a woman.
Rejection and lies. Lies are bad.
Lies are worse than rejection? Maybe. What if the lie to make you feel good?
Well, no, it's when you find out it's a lie.
Ah.
Yes.
So that's when he didn't lie so good.
I guess.
He should lie better. Yes. Is it like double? What do you call it?
Like deception.
What is it?
Deception. So that's rejection.
Yeah, that's rejection. Deception. Rejection. Wow. Feel heavy. The energy in the room changed right now. All right. I grew up with three sisters, so I can feel it. No brother. So, why am I sharing this with you? The Zohar writes like this: when a man get married, he should always free himself from tax, from money issue, from anything, from war, he need to be with his wife for 1 year. 1 year to be with her. For sure, 365 days. Unfortunately, a lot of people, a lot of guys, after they get married, they go to what they call the honeymoon, which I have no idea why they call it the honeymoon. That's usually when people get divorced. And why they go to that vacation to some Chakapupa, they choose some island, and that place has some blue, dark blue water. They come back, and they tell you. And then after 3 months, there is a fight. They don't want to see each other. But what happened? I'm trying to say the name. I forgot. It's next to Bahamas. There is a name, a weird name for island. I just don't remember. So people do that. And they want to impress their wife. But the one thing that the wife wants, according to this section, again, I'm not here to tell you the future, v'simach et ishto, you need to make your wife happy. And when you make her happy, beguf v'tikuneh, you have to relate to the woman body. U'mishem sameach otam tzadik. And whoever is able to make a woman happy, the Zohar, 2,000 years ago, call him the righteous man. So you want to know who been called righteous? A man who is capable to make a wife happy. Seems like a tough mission here. My God. Mi shemesameach otam tzadik. Whoever capable of making a woman happy, righteous. Al ken naki yele beto. And he always have a clean home, always will be a wonderful thing, and make sure that he will do whatever it takes to make her happy and not to be busy to pay tax and problem, so he can be always with her. The reason is why? Again, why is it so important? It says that if a man, I mean, everybody know happy wife, happy life, right? But that's what we tell men. The idea, the women desire to receive. Think of women. Women have a strong desire. Their mission in life is to receive. They've been built this way, biologically. But women ashamed to receive. They're not good to receive, right? I mean, you invite a woman on the first date, she's not going to eat, right? She's going to go with this one roll of sushi, play around it, play around again, turn it to the left, turn it to the right, and push it away, and she'd never eat. Then she's going to meet the girlfriend, and they're going to attack some two rolls of sushi. But it doesn't matter. So why are they ashamed to receive? Where does that come from? Because Malchut, the ability of the energy of a female, is a receiving force. But the original receiving force was created because God, the Creator, want to give. So let's say God want to give 10 points. You need a person who can receive that point. Why are you receiving that specific 10 point? To give a pleasure to the Creator so the Creator can give it. So now, here I am, the Divine. I'm receiving 10 points to make the Divine happy. But there is a man there. For the man to look at the woman who want to receive a lot, eating a lot, drinking a lot, everything a lot. Can you imagine on the first date, ask every man, man, take a restaurant, next to the restaurant there is jewelry and this. Right away she said, oh my God, I love this watch and ring. Do you buy for me? And can you order a big steak and 2 bottles of wine? He's run. That's over. Now why? Why? Listen carefully. It's very important to understand. The natural tendency of a woman, it is receiving. But you cannot activate that power next to every man. A man, natural tendency, a real man want to give. A man who cannot give is a shame. When a man cannot pay for you, he's feeling a real man, feeling embarrassed. A cheap man is not a man, it's a female. Every time you meet a cheap man, you met a female. That's not a real man. You need to know. Because a man want to be the one who pay the bill. He's the one who take the care. It's a macho. It's an ego thing. I want to be that. I don't want nobody, you know. It's embarrassed. No way you pay. You know, like, I want to show you. But what if she asks, I like that Rolex, the diamond, I think it's a yellow diamond. No big deal, just 20,000. And this old bottle of wine for 450, I love it. And the steak, make sure it's aged for 2 years, the special steak. The man not capable to do that. So that man feel rejection from you. Because he cannot do what you ask him to do. So he start to get nervous. God is endless giving. So when you ask from God things, more you ask, more pleasure you give to God. Because God want to give you more than you ask. But when a man sit there and he try to impress you like he is God, you have to remember it, women, the man try to impress you like he is replacement of God. And if you remind him that he's actually the replacement of God, you get whatever you want. Just remind it or the entire dinner. With a wow and oh my God. All right? Then there is no problem at that moment. So there is two sides between men and women. You know, yes, the men want to give you whatever is capable of. Yeah. Sometimes when I see couples who come to see me and the husband say, my wife's spending too much money, I said, do you have money? I said, yes, I'm very rich. I said, then I want her to spend even more. I said, why? I said, could be she only came into your life to test you so you can let go of control. If he doesn't have, then I said, let me talk to your wife then. And I explained to her where it's come from. Because love is not necessarily not love when it's come to materialism. If there is materialism within the love story, it doesn't make it not love. It doesn't make the woman too materialistic. Could be the woman is there to help the man to get to the next level. So don't hold back and don't ask. Because if he can give you what you ask, that's what makes him feel like a man. Let's say if my wife challenged me and say, we went to eat in that fancy sushi restaurant, and she liked that, I think it's called Black Code, something like that. She said, oh my God, it's so good. So she didn't even challenge me. I said, oh my God, so good. I think I can do better. I came home, I bought a few pieces of fish, start cutting it, and I used to work as a cook, not as a chef, as a sous chef it's called. And I start putting the fish in the oven, try it, test it, almost, and the second one came good. And I come to her, hey, honey, what do you think, huh? She said, I'm not hungry. It doesn't matter if you're not hungry. You better be hungry for this fish. And she ate it, and it was good. So if you want the recipe, I can give it to you. The idea, the man get impressed.
Wow.
Exactly. She said, oh, my God. And I heard the word God, the oh, my God. So that was good. All right, so let's move to another subject and understand why is our generation spiritually start to fall apart. What exactly going on? Let's read it. Again, it's a complicated Zohar, and forgive me for that. When I say Zohar, I'm talking about the book that was written 2,000 years ago. Please be sure.
And when the gulf is open, whoever falls there does not come up. And Messiah, the son of David, fell there together with Messiah, the son of Joseph, of whom one is humble and riding upon a donkey. And the other is the firstling of his herd.
Is donkey and bull mean something to you, American people? American people? American? What does it mean?
Politics.
Which? Very good. What a coincidence, huh?
It's the elephant. The donkey.
Okay. Very good, Yvette. Go ahead, please.
And the other is the firstling of his herd. Who is Messiah, the son of Joseph? This is the meaning of, if a man shall dig a pit and not cover it, and an ox or a donkey fall into it. For that reason, Messiah is called the one who fell, and she, namely the Shekhinah, fell with them. And of her it says, the virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. And you, faithful shepherd, or the owner of the pit, shall make it good, and give money to the owner of them. And the dead beast shall be his. The dead refers to Messiah, the son of Joseph, that will be killed.
So what is Messiah? Messiah is a consciousness. It's a moment in time when you get it. And the moment you get it, that's Messiah. You got it. You see the whole picture. There is two levels. One is physical, get it. One is spiritual, get it. The spiritual get it has to do with Joseph. The physical get it, David. Messiah of David only going to come one time in the end of time. Messiah of Joseph come every generation. And it's always a person who bringing change. People who bring change into the world, spiritual change in the world, they are the Messiah of the house of Joseph. That's the mission. This is what they came here to do. But they have to die every generation. They will not last. They have to be gone. And then they come, next generation come, another one, and another one, and another one. It's never going to end. David is a concept of collective consciousness that everybody is together. Now, within us, we have these two forces too. You have the Joseph side, and you have the David side. The David is eternity of awareness and understanding. The Joseph is basically a spiritual understanding, but I'm not sure I will be strong enough that it will last forever. Is that clear? Why I confuse you? Yes? You lost me or are you with me? Should I repeat it? Debbie said repeat it. Okay, again. We have two forces within us. The Joseph part is something that will not last. You come up with an idea and say, oh my God, this is amazing. Wow, that's what I'm going to do tomorrow. That's Joseph. And then it's gone. It died. The David concept, it's a change that you make, but it will last forever. That's the difference between the two. It's written that they both fell into the pit. I mean, right now in our time, we are in a consciousness, which is very difficult to climb out of the pit. And I'm not trying to be negative, to put it into your brain. It's possible. But first, let's hear what is not working so we know how to make it work. Okay? And the next part is also difficult. I'm sorry today, most of the parts I choose are difficult. Forgive me. Go ahead, please.
The fourth klipa, the deep, is called a pit where an ox is falling.
When I say klipa, klipa means shell. So shell is negative. There is many levels of negativity that disturbing us to grow to the next level. Please, go ahead.
This is why it is written of Joseph, the firstling of his herd, grandeur in his, of whom it says, and they cast him into a pit, which is the evil female of the klipa, and the pit was empty. It's the male of the klipa, which is empty. Without Torah, that is called water. But there are snakes and scorpions in it. This is the fourth exile, which is empty without Torah, which is a generation of evil people filled with snakes and scorpions that are scoundrels like snakes and who are scorpions, since they uprooted the words of the sages and give false sentence. Of them it says, her adversaries have become chief.
Okay, the chief. Who are the chief? According to the Zohar in Nassau, the chief are the spiritual leader. We should thought the government, politics, Democrat, Republican. No. Spiritual leader becoming snakes and Scorpio. That's the spiritual leader of our generation. We have a problem. When I opened my small organization with my lovely wife, Debbie, I was nervous. I was talking to my wife. I said, what if we fell to our ego? It's a very dangerous job. People liking us, respecting us. We can do a lot of mistakes. It's a very dangerous job. And I said to my wife, I'm going to do one thing. One of my missions as I start is to help any spiritual person to get to their goal, to open either their synagogue, church, imam for Muslim, spiritual center, whatever they want to do, I will be there for them to help them to teach or to guide them or to get them next level. Why am I doing it? It's not just because I'm trying to be nice. I'm doing it because I have to be suspicious of myself. Maybe I'm a spiritual leader. I'm leading hundreds of people. Now, maybe I'm not behaving according to what the divine wants me to do. How do I know that I'm doing it correctly? Yes, it feels right. I care for you. I love you. But so what? I love fish. That's why I kill it. Is that what love is? Love. Everybody would die. Love, that's it. I said love, we all can go home. No. Love can be something selfish. It's about me. I love you. I want to take from you now. So the idea is we need to get into a place that each and every one of you becomes spiritual leader. And I know it's a responsibility. But if you're not doing it yet, you have to start putting on your WhatsApp chat, make a group of your 10 closest people. And every week or every day, send something to them. Doesn't have to be from me. It can be from any other teaching. Doesn't matter what. Something that inspires you. And share it with them. You become at that moment spiritual leader. Now, of course, you have to be careful not to become a snake. How do you become a snake? When you want respect from those people more than you want them to respect the divine. Okay? Just let's continue the last part here, please.
And he looked this way and that, and when he saw that there was no man of Israel among the wicked of that generation, but that they are the mixed multitude. This will be at the end of exile. And because of that, the end, the coming of the exile, bores all the way the great abyss, which is the fourth exile called the great abyss. Faithful shepherd, he came down there. Tahom is Hamavet, spelled backwards, and death is no other than poverty. That is poverty in knowledge. It has been clarified up high before the time Eim and Amorim that they will all descend for your sake into the deep and the fourth exile to help you.
Thank you. So the Zohar mentioned the specific type of people who will damage your life. He has a name for it. He called them Erev Rav. Erev Rav is a mixed multitude. They're always going to come in a shape of either religious people or spiritual people. Now you know who to be afraid. Do not be afraid of politicians. Do not be afraid of doctors. Do not be afraid of lawyers. Do not be afraid of cheaters. In our generation, the only people who can actually hurt you are either religious or spiritual people. This is unfortunate. I'm sorry to even say it. And I'm sure some of my closest friends were not happy when I'm saying it, because they always say, but it sounds bad. I said, I have to say it. It's written. So it's a, וזה יהיה בסוף הגלות. It will be in the end of time. We are considering the end of time now. And for that reason, משום זה הקץ של הגאולה, the end of the redemption, meaning us to feel good, us to feel redeemed, נוקב עד תאום רבה. It's going all the way to תאום, which is a מוות, which means death. And there is no death than being poor of knowledge. When you no longer study and becoming smart. Every human being has to study. Get a book. Read on your own. Yes, have a teacher. You can call me, ask me, Elia, what do you think of that? But develop your own opinion. We can have an argument. Why do you think my son agree with me with everything I say? No. No. Sit next to me. I mean, even that Friday. Nail me down. Okay? Was he right? I don't think so. But then we talk about it. We clear it out. No problem. Then the beauty about it is to have a conversation. But knowledge? You must study, guys. Take a book, study. Teach yourself morality. Teach yourself spirituality. Teach yourself, can I become better? Whatever it is that you can study, it will make you better. And that's why the Zohar is telling you, aniyut midaat. When a person becomes poor from knowledge, there's nothing worse than that. When you are, people worry about being poor from having money, poor from friends. But we are in a generation that people don't study. Don't study spirituality. They talk spirituality. They use spirituality. They say divine, light, angel, blah, 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 blah. But nothing going on. People gotta study. And you don't have to have a teacher to study. What am I telling you here? I mean, half of what I say tonight is information, and it's boring. I mean, you have to listen to it about 60 times, that it will get into your brain. But half of the thing is a little bit funny. So basically, I gave you 20% information tonight, maybe 15. That's it. And in between, some words and laughter. So think about it for you. Study it on your own. Read it on your own. It will take you to a higher level. You must study. You cannot put in your schedule just when am I dating, when am I getting married, when am I having children, and when I'm going to make my first million. Book. What book are you reading this week? What book are you reading this year? What book are you reading this month? You have to read. You have to read new books. Now you don't have time. There is people who read books on audio book. Yes, audio. My friend Robert teach me that. You drive too far, audio. You listen, go to work, come back from work. Oh, you're going to hear so many books. Unbelievable. It's the best. You don't need music. What are you going to hear? What do you need? Put that thing. Unbelievable. You become smart. You understand what's going on. You understand life. You study different point of view. You know, people ask me, people saw me, I finished a few books of Scientology. And so they saw me, are you from Scientology? I said, I'm not from Scientology. So what are you doing? So I read everything. Then they saw me on the plane with the Quran. Say, are you Muslim? I say, I'm not Muslim, but I'm reading Quran. Then they saw me with Christian book. Are you? No, I'm reading. Then I bought the book from a famous person from Brazil. It has to do with spiritualism. I don't know if you know what spiritualism. Talking to the dead, like going out and start bringing the dead and have a conversation. Why not? I welcome everything. Tarot, I will read it too. Psychic ability, psychic teleporting. Read. It's all beautiful. The other day I had a phone call. He said, Liao, are you famous for reading people? I said, yes, I am. What can I help you with? So what will be the best book to start reading so I can read people myself? I said, any book. So what do you mean? any book will be good. Any book. So I started when I was 17. My sister got afraid. She tore the book. I found it. Started reading it. It's unbelievable. Then I learned about the palm. Then I learned about the face from the Chinese. It's called Sign Mind. Then I learned that. Then I traveled all over the world doing reading for people. I was single and happy, going around the world. Yeah, here I am. Yeah. And that's it. Then you want to get married. All of a sudden, I said, well, what am I doing with that lecture? I got to go to LA to get married, right? That's where I met my wife. Wonderful. Let's go to another section, and then we have a little discussion. Please.
Therefore it shall be when Hashem your Elohim has given you rest, you shall blot out the remembrance of Amalek. For the Holy One, blessed be He, has sworn not to return to His throne before He takes revenge from it. The faithful shepherd opened and said, surely this is why we were traveling in the wilderness and by the sea, and did not enter the land of Israel until He would take revenge of Amalek.
Now, we have a problem here. We talk about God, we talk about revenge, and we talk about the nation. God, revenge, nation. God, revenge, nation. What's the name of the nation? Amalek. Remember how we start. We start by telling you that the war is not a physical war. People take it literally. The word Amalek, if you take the value of the word Amalek, you could have the same value of that letter of the word doubts. The same exact thing. So what is Amalek did? If you read the section of Amalek in this week portion, and I'm going to read it to you, it says like that. You shall remember what Amalek did to you as you get out of Egypt. Asher karcha baderech. It happened to you random while you're getting out of Egypt. Or, different translation, asher karcha baderech, meaning it makes you cold as you're walking on the path. We're going to take the second translation. It makes you cold as you're walking on the spiritual path. One of the worst things happened to our generation, people becoming cold with their spirituality. There's no excitement, no passion. I was in Miami not too long ago, and I did a lecture, and then in the daytime, I met with this, what people call in Miami, famous playboy. You know, with the yacht, you know what they do? They do what they do. So all the other spiritual leader who know me from there, said, yeah, what are you doing? This guy's nuts. I said, did you ever see his passion when he party? He said, no. Did you ever see his passion when he's on the boat and he put this loud music and he go next to the restaurant? There is few restaurants on the water and he go around and he make music. Do you ever see him dancing on the boat? I said, no, we don't care. I said, I do. And I went to him, I said to him, how do you do it? How do you get passion to do it again? Doesn't use drugs or alcohol. He's a powerful man for me. Now people are judging him because he has this bad name. One of the things that the dark side, Amalek, want to do to you is kill your enthusiasm. Kill your enthusiasm when you're about to become spiritual. Everybody can become spiritual. How excited are you when you become spiritual? Okay, I'm going to pray. Okay, I'm going to think about God. Okay, angel. Okay, it's okay. What is this okay? You ever saw a baby cry for a toy? And those of you who never have children don't know what I'm talking about. When they go to a toy store, that's a sin. When I brought my three kids to a toy store, they're not far by age. Let me tell you, embarrassing. Screaming. Hey, I want this! So the only way and Debbie used to leave the store because we were embarrassed, said, Debbie, I'm going to deal with them. And until today, my son was more than 17. Remind me. He said, you used to tell us this all the time. What I used to tell them? I want you to get anything you want from the store. Not cool what I used to do. Anything you want. Relax. When it comes to the cashier, it's okay, now choose one. They come up. Not nice. And they now when they grow up, So sometimes we talk. He said, why did you do this? I say, the worst thing a parents can do to the kids is to take away their desire from the kids. And the worst thing a parents can do to the kids is to fulfill the entire desire of the kids. Remember those two. If you give them everything they want, you kill their spirit. If you tell them they can't want something, you also kill the spirit. So you need to learn to work with two. So yes, you can take the whole shop and then leave while you're missing 4 or 5 items. And the idea, my friend, I learned it actually from my father. I think I told this story so many times. Before Rosh Hashanah, which is coming soon, my mom used to make a jar from a fruit called quince. Most of you never ate quince. Quince is a hard fruit. It looks like pear. Usually people don't eat it because it's too much work. So my mom used to make it's a tradition to make a jar from that fruit. So before Rosh Hashanah, before the holiday, everybody take one piece. I want 3. I'm 1 boy, 3 girls. I'm spoiled. So my mom say, no. I start screaming, yes. I'm like 7 years old. She said, no. My father come. Father is strong. He comes and said, there is a problem here. And everybody get quiet. And my mom said, yes. I'm telling him to have 1 first and we see if we have 2. I said, can I talk to him? Now I'm nervous. My father is no good. And my father grew up, you know, as an orphan in Sicily, so he saw things. So he sat with me and said, you know what, I'm going to make a deal with you, son. I said, okay, what's the deal? He take all the jar, and he said, this is all yours. Oh my God. I'm hugging the jar, it's a big thing. And as a kid, he said, now you cannot get off the chair until you finish the entire jar. The beginning was cool. I ate 1. 2, by the second it's big. The 3rd one, I can't eat. And my father always reminded me, I start crying. I start crying so bad. And I don't want it. And he looked at me and said, are you okay? I said, no, I'm not. I don't want it. So he called my mom. So you see, he doesn't want it. I gave him what he wanted, then he doesn't want it anymore. From that day on, I was thinking before I'm asking if I want something. Why am I telling this to you? A lot of time we're asking for things based on what we don't have, not based on what exists. If you're only asking relative the thing you don't have right now, it's not going to make you happy. If you don't have this and you want now that to make you happy, whatever you fulfill yourself right now will not make you happy. It will make you happy just for that moment because from minus to 0, feel good. But it's never going above the 0. If you want to feel great all the time, say, I want it because I know there is so much more that the divine want to give me. I want 1 million because the divine want to give me that 1 million. I want love story because I know it exists there. Amalek, it's a nation, it's a concept that want to kill your enthusiasm about everything. Be like a kid. Learn to be like a kid. If you want to have a great life, learn to talk to somebody who's 3 years old, then learn to talk to somebody who's 89 years old. If you're not capable to talk to those two type of people, you don't know life. You need to know life through those people because the kids will teach you to get excited about everything. 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 For kids is excitement. Everything is excitement. And then with the age, less and less excitement. Today, unfortunately, parents don't take babysitter. They just take the iPad, put it in front of the kids, and say, just look at that movie for 2.5 hours, and then they press play again, another movie. And then they say, why is this kid so numb? He's not excited. What excited? He's seeing that frame for the rest of their life, and the frame, you don't see it, but it moves very fast. So when you go see a teacher, if you know what I'm saying, he develops ADD, because the teacher cannot move as fast as the video game. You understand what I'm saying? The frequency cannot be as fast as the video game, cannot be as fast as the movie. So the teacher talk, the student fall asleep. Because that's what they see. They don't know what's going on. So one of the things, those of you who have kids, make sure you do 1 day or 2 days without electronic, because it's affecting you. You don't even know how much it's affecting me, right? I look at the phone, look at this, I look at that, it's affecting me. Oh, who loved me on Facebook today? Who saw my picture on Instagram? Oh, yo, they love me. It's almost like this flower. They love me not. You know? We just want to see some reaction. We're hiring people to just help us with our reaction. Told me, Amalek is a killer. He's an inside killer. It's killing your excitement. It affects your physical heart. Your physical heart get affected by that. Your emotion shut down because you're so afraid of rejection. You're so afraid to be yourself. You no longer feel. And that's why you don't get hurt. You're amazingly strong. Or you maybe lost the game, and that's why you never can lose again. So much fun. You know, every time I go to play tennis, my kids say, did you win? I said, no. Did you enjoy? Yes. How can you enjoy it? Because I enjoy tennis. I love it. Who cares? Today, my son asked me to have bonding time with him, so we played basketball. I think I did well, but I lost the game. And I said to him, a great game. It was an amazing game. Don't go for lose or win. Go for the excitement. Whatever you do. If you're not excited about something, two things. Either don't do it, or either check yourself, are you excited about anything? You go to cook breakfast for yourself? I want you to dance. I want you to jam. Don't just go make a coffee. What is this? It's a moment of you and yourself, that coffee. Beautiful. You ever been in places where people love the restaurant? I'm trying to think about places here. I don't find a lot of places here. There is people who respect their job. I found that in Germany, when I saw the baker in Germany, wouldn't even look up. He's just busy with the dough. I think it was in Stuttgart. And I look, and the person enjoy his profession. Are you excited about what you do? You better get excited. Whatever you do, get excited. What are you doing tonight? Are you going to dance? Make it like the first moment, first time ever you went to dance. Are you going to drink your tequila for diet or whatever you're doing it for? Say, oh my God, my first tequila ever. Yeah! And you go, that's it. Otherwise, it's like, I don't know what to do. I'm dating already 20 times. What is that? What is this? Who would want to talk to you? Who would want to talk to you? Then you go and you do your injection here, and I ask, why you do the injection? On my face, Eliyahu, I have those wrinkles. I promise you, I give you a secret about men. Men don't care for the wrinkle. Refresh. Something to do with the wrinkle. Refresh. Get excited. Ah! And then give him the credit that because of him, you're excited. And then he starts to become, ah! Okay? And that's what life is all about. Amalek is a nation that's killing us. These doubts. You're going to play tennis? Go have fun. Go, certainty you're going to win. And lose. So what? I went one time with an idea to cook something. Nightmare what came out. I want to impress my wife. We're just newly married. So I'm going to make you something. I saw on TV. It was a nightmare. It was a chicken with chocolate. Nightmare. If there is one thing that my wife reminds me about cooking every time, then just don't do this chocolate chicken again. I said, but I saw it in the menu. I said, no. It came. But the beautiful, because we were new into our marriage, she was chewing it and swallowed it, actually. She did it. Only 2 weeks after, she told me it was a disaster. But I did the same with the Italian dish. Remember, you bought this book from Italy. She made me a village chicken potato-like. And it's something that's supposed to be cooked for 8 hours, slowly. She cooked it for about 45 minutes. I come home from New York, and we are new. The beginning of the marriage, you don't want to upset each other. So the potato, I'm trying to cut it. And she looked at me, I look at her, and I don't want to tell her, like, it's bad. And then she said, what's going on? I said, no, it's special village. The village. Or the first matzah ball. Remember the matzah ball? My wife, you know what the matzah ball soup? Matzah ball is like balls like this. Do you know what it is? So you have a mix of the soup and mix of the matzah ball. So when I married Debbie, I come from Sephardic Jewish family. Sephardic Jewish family, the man always gets spoiled by the mother, keep bringing food. So when you get married, what the memory of a wife is? Your mom cooking for you. So we marry for about 4 days. Say, listen, Debbie, for me, love is when I come home and I see smoke in the kitchen and pots and this. And she said, honey, I grew up in Connecticut. There is no smoke. In Connecticut, there is a restaurant next door and we go and eat. So for me, so he said, but I will surprise you tomorrow. Come tomorrow, she buy one of those mix matzo ball and Manashevitz, it's called, if you know. But she did. Instead of making few matzo ball, she make me one big like that. Because it doesn't say to make it small. And I say, here is your soup, and here is the matzo. It doesn't say matzo balls, it says matzo ball. So. But the idea is, she did it with so much excitement that we ate it together. So in life, if you want to know what's the most important part of your life, is how excited are you about everything. I recommend, I would like to give you a recommendation for you, especially this week. Once a week, treat yourself nice. Go to a restaurant by yourself. I don't know if you're brave enough to do it. Do it maybe once a month. It's expensive. Once a year. At least therapy once a year. Restaurant, which is the top. But sit there alone if you're brave. Sit there alone and order expensive. Don't look at the line of what you like. Look at the line of the price. You know? Price, item. You know? Usually, if you look at the price, you look at the cheap. I think I like salad, you know? So this time go for where it say MP. You know what MP? Mean very expensive, okay? Mean very market price, yeah. Why is market price? Because it's expensive, market price. So oh, the fish was running away and we caught him. Market price, okay. Yeah. So, and the idea is to get into the point that you gotta treat yourself. Do it once a year to yourself. Once a year, go shopping for clothes by yourself. But don't do it if you're not excited. If you do it because you don't have clothes, you're not doing it. If you do it because you don't have shoes, it's not count. It's only count when you do it with excitement. You go to a bar, you want to have a drink, have it a moment. Put the best perfume, do the thing, share it, whatever. It's a moment. It's an amazing moment. You know, take a walk, go on a hike. Doesn't matter what it is. Once a year, you have to do all those things with excitement. The rest of the year is okay. That's the Amalek. Amalek is a nation that will prevent you from being excited about life. Debbie is standing, it's a sign for the finish of the lecture, because we're late, we have a meeting after that. Any question? If we don't, maybe, yes, please.
Yeah, so what would you say to us if there was one most effective way to fight Amalek? What would you do?
Excitement with whatever you do. Whatever you do has to be with excitement, okay? Let's say, taking a shower, like the first time ever. I'm not joking, okay? But, and speak to yourself, like I'm brushing my teeth, oh, this is wonderful. You know, I'm gonna have now cappuccino, yeah. You know?
So do you believe that if there's a person who just tends to never get excited, that they could actually fake it until they make it and get in the habit?
Okay, very good. Excited? Fake it till you make it is good, just don't get stuck in the fake it. The make it is the goal. Fake it till?
Make it.
Because some people say, I'm faking it, nothing happened. Because your purpose is not to make it. Your purpose is just to fake it. You fake it as if you're there. And then the make it will catch up. But if you just fake it because the verse says so, we have a problem. Guys, close your eyes for about 30 seconds. I know you all got to go. I'm a little bit late. So, and please see yourself talking to one person this week and helping one person this week about how to get a little bit more excited about their life. Help one soul, one human, not here, not from here, outside, how to get excited about their life. Because according to spirituality, if you help one human being, the universe will start helping you. I want to thank you for coming and thank you for sharing a moment with me. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you.